firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you he hath said, to you who for refuge to Jesus have fled. Fear not, I am with you.
What's your ministry? Do you volunteer at church? Maybe you feed the homeless or visit the homebound. Welcome to Through the Bible. I'm your host, Steve Schwetz, and I'm glad that you've hopped aboard the Bible bus for today's study with our teacher, Dr. J. Vernon McGee. As we continue this amazing journey through the Old Testament book of Isaiah, Dr. McGee has a lot to share with us, including the value of our Christian service. But first, we have enough time to hear from a few of our fellow listeners of our Tagalog programs in the Philippines. Thank you for the message this evening. God's blessings through His Word overflow into our family. Each message gives us the strength to believe and hold on. We often wonder why we are so poor, why it is a struggle every day, but we continue to be reminded through His Word that our physical blessings are just enough to meet our needs, and our spiritual blessings are abundant. We cannot ask for more than this. You taught us how to have faith in God and to completely trust Him as we experience life's difficulties. Again, thank you so much. Isn't that a great letter? Here's another one. This is from a listener who says the same thing in a different way. Your messages in God's Word have kept me stable and strong through the many trials I'm experiencing. My home is small, with a leaking roof and, most of all, no electricity. The light I have is a flickering flashlight. I use it little by little so that the battery will not get low, so that its life would be lengthened. I thank God that there is a light from the street post outside the house that also gives me light inside my home. I am alone, but I know that God is with me. Because of your messages, I sleep peacefully during the night, thanks to God. And then a young woman recently contacted us to say, my parents are devoted to Islam, but after listening to your programs, I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I am now a Sunday school teacher in our Bible-believing church. Your programs have taken on new meaning as I now teach from God's Word too. Thank you for being my spiritual family and helping me to grow in my faith. Our final message comes from a grandfather who writes, I praise God for your teaching. I have learned a lot through your program as I listen every day. I am 78 years old. I teach and share the lessons I have heard with my grandchildren and my neighbors. I am so glad that my knowledge about God grows. I like your explanations because they are clear, easy to understand, and directly come from the Bible. There are many who teach different things. I am sure we will not be misguided from the truth because the teachings are pure words, not flowery words, straight from the Bible. God bless you all. Well, this week, our world prayer team is traveling on our knees through the Philippines and Southeast Asia, praying for listeners like these and millions of others. So if you'd like to join us, go ahead and sign up today at ttb.org/pray or call us at 1-800-65-BIBLE for more information. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity to study your word, and we pray that the light of Christ will shine into hearts and homes in Southeast Asia. Speak to all of us about the ways that we can serve you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Here's Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
All right, now here in chapter 64, we have the prayer of the remnant of God's people, and it's a pleading prayer. As we saw last time, they were afflicted. God was with them, but they cried out to Him, look down from heaven and behold from the habitation of Thy holiness and of Thy glory. And they called upon God to move in their behalf. Now, this chapter, we find a continuation of that. And we have here in the first five verses, God's control of the universe recognized. And then in the last part of the chapter, man's condition in the universe confessed. Now again, this is a neglected section of the Word of God, and we have attempted to emphasize it to let us see something we feel very important today of why we hold the premillennial viewpoint, why we believe Christ is coming. before the Great Tribulation period. The church will go out before the Great Tribulation period. Then he'll come at the end of the Great Tribulation to establish his kingdom. Now, this is not just a theory that somebody got up a few years ago, but this is something that actually we find that Isaiah, what he says, fits into the program. And not just one or two verses that you pull out here and there, but as we have attempted to go through here almost verse by verse, that Isaiah is presenting a very definite program. The Word of God just doesn't give little isolated verses to prove some particular theory of interpretation. But whatever your theory is, it has to be fitted down any place here. And if it won't fit, then evidently you need another size shoe, because when one doesn't fit, and I think sometime today that some of these theories that I hear remind me of the lady that went into the shoe store and she wanted to get a pair of shoes, and the shoe salesman says, "What size do you wear?" Well, she says, "I can't get on a 4, but because a 5 feels so much better, why, I always buy a 6 and sometimes a 7. And I feel like that some of these theories, when you begin to really get right down to where the Word of God is speaking, you have to change your size. It doesn't quite fit. Now, here we see these people crying out. Verse 1, "Oh, that thou wouldst rend the heavens, that thou wouldst come down, that the mountains might flow down at thy presence." Now, here are these people pleading, and the prophet is a representative of the remnant of Israel in that future day. And as we said, he used a past tense, which is called a prophetic tense. He went the other side of the event and looked back at the event as if it had already taken place. But here, he's pleading with God, as the remnant will in that day during the Great Tribulation period. Now, may I say that all Scripture is not to us, but all is for us. And actually, we can identify with these people. Why? Because we're told today, and our prayer should be, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." Come for the church today. The Spirit and the bride say, "Come." An invitation to the world, but an invitation to him to come. And here will be that remnant in that day. And for goodness sake, let them say it. Don't try to horn in here and say, "You're the one that's saying it." It's not the church here. This just happens to be the remnant in that day. And I think it's very clear from this section of the Word of God that that's what Isaiah is talking about. Not what some modern theology has worked out, or some little clever scheme has worked out. Now, verse 2, "As when the melting fire burneth, the fire causeth the waters to boil, to make thy name known to thine adversaries, that the nations may tremble at thy presence." Now, just as fire makes water to boil, so the presence of God would make the nations to tremble. Today, the nations are not conscious of the existence of God. Somebody says, "How can we, a Christian nation, sit down with a godless nation like Russia or China?" Well, friends, the reason is that we're just about as godless as they are. That's the reason. Today, the nations are not conscious of God. There's no prayer, no turning to him, no recognition of him. Now, in that day, as you're coming right down to the wire, the end of the age, there will be a very real consciousness that God is getting ready to break through. There was that consciousness, actually, at the time of the birth of Christ. There was an expectation throughout the world, and several of the Roman historians have called attention to that. Now, verse 3, "When thou didst terrible things which we looked not for, thou camest down, the mountains flowed down at thy presence." Now, the very mountains will melt at his presence. The enemies will then cry to the mountains to hide them. But all they'll do will melt and run all over them. So it won't be very helpful in that day. Now, verse 4. And this is a verse that we have two verses in this chapter that make not the chapter familiar, but the familiar verses are drawn from this one. Now, verse 4, you find it in 1 Corinthians 2:9. For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard, nor perceived by the ear, neither hath the eye seen, O God, beside thee what he hath prepared for him that waiteth for it. Now, Paul uses it in a little different way. Paul says, as it's written, eye hath not seen, ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Now, Paul then goes on to say, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. Now, Paul was quoting the first part, which is quite evident, from Isaiah here. And Paul says that the Holy Spirit in our day will reveal these things unto us. In that day, they're going to have to wait until he comes. And then even for us, it can be said that now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. So all along, we can identify ourselves with these people, for we have a hope also. But it's a different hope. We are looking for him to take us out of the world. They are looking for him to come and establish a kingdom on the earth. And friends, I'll be honest with you, the only folk that seem to miss this today are theologians. I don't know why they don't seem to know up from down and down from up. He's coming down to the earth. He's going to take the church up to meet him. Now, you really ought to know in this life, which is up and up is down and down is not up. And it gives us quite a bit of upside down theology. I think that we need to make the distinction, but we can identify. Our hearts can go out in passages like this. Now, verse 5, thou meetest him that rejoiceth and worketh righteousness, those that remember thee in thy ways, behold, thou art wroth, for we've sinned. In those is countenance, and we shall be saved. Here begins the acknowledgement of the sins, and at the same time, a confidence in the redemption of the Savior. Now, here is the verse that is quoted so many times. This brings us now to man's condition in the universe confessed. The rest of the chapter. Now, will you listen to this? But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. Now, this is a verse that I suppose is used as much as any to reveal the sin of man. I know that I've used it a great deal of time. It establishes the fact that man has no righteousness per se, that is, in himself, none whatsoever. And this is not only true of Israel, but it's true of the entire human family, because we all, both Jew and Gentile, we all have sinned and have come short of the glory of God. But we're an unclean thing, and our righteousness are as filthy rags. I don't care what you call good works today. Anything that the flesh produces, and it may sound pretty good down here, you may be able to give $1 million to feed the poor and the hungry and little orphans and widows. But my friend, in God's sight, that's filthy rag. Now, I know that that's hard for man to accept, but you can't bring a clean thing out of an unclean thing. And a lost sinner can't do anything that is acceptable to God. He has to come God's way first. Now, I recognize the difficulty of that, that immediately somebody will take exception, and especially if they are not saved and they are depending on their own good works. Now, I move on here, verse 8, but now, O Lord, thou art our Father, we are the clay, and thou our potter, and we all are the work of thy hand. Now, may I say to you, God is our Father by creation, but man lost that image. And today, we can become sons of God in only one way, and that is through Christ. The New Testament revelation of the sons of God is not by creation at all. but on a different basis. John, in John 1, 12 and 13 says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. Now you see here, this verse recognizes God as our creator. And he's a potter instead of a fodder. He's the one that creates. Now, a man that makes a vessel, that is a pretty vase, he's sort of the father of it. We speak of George Washington being the father of his country because he was the first president. But my gracious, there are a lot of other fathers that are around. And in this sense, God is the potter. He's the creator. And we need to recognize that there is a distinction there. And Paul made it when he was speaking yonder in Athens. In Acts 17, 28 and 29, he says, for in him, that is God, we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. You see, but not his son, not born again sons of God. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver, stone, graven by art and man's device. In other words, God created us. Therefore, we ought not to make an image and say that that image is a picture of God. We're attempting to create God, and God has forbidden that. Now, we drop down to verse 10. He says, thy holy cities are a wilderness, Zion is a wilderness, Jerusalem a desolation. Now this was not true in Isaiah's day, but it came to pass shortly after Isaiah when Babylon came against Jerusalem. And in 2 Kings 25, we're told what he did. And he burnt the house of the Lord and the king's house and all the houses of Jerusalem, and every great man's house burnt he with fire. And all the army of the Chaldees that were with the captain of the guard broke down the walls of Jerusalem round about. Now, this was literally, you see, fulfilled. Now, we are told here in verse 11, our holy and our beautiful house where our fathers praised thee is burned up with fire, and all our pleasant things are laid waste. Isaiah writes of it as if it's happened, but it didn't happen until about 100 years after Isaiah. The temple was destroyed at the same time that Jerusalem was destroyed. And then verse 12, wilt thou refrain thyself for these things, O Lord? Wilt thou hold thy peace and afflict us very so? In other words, the prophet closes here with a question. Will God refuse that? Well, the remainder of the prophecy of Isaiah is God's answer. God only rejected them after they rejected God. But it did not thwart God's plan and purpose for them and for the earth, because God carried through what he said he would do, and he's yet to finalize that program, by the way. Now, that brings us to chapter 65, and here the Redeemer, the Lord Jesus, responds to the remnant. They ask the question. Now, God answers that. The Redeemer does. Their sins have not frustrated God's promises and purposes concerning the coming kingdom. Now, we noted the last in this chapter now we just finished, the fervent prayer of the prophet and the people, pleading with the king to break through all barriers and come to earth. Now, this chapter, 65, and the next chapter, 66, the concluding chapter of Isaiah, contain God's answer. Now, God makes it very clear to them that their sin and unfaithfulness was responsible for his judgment upon them. Nevertheless, he's preserved a remnant through which he will fulfill all his promises and his prophecies. And again, he gives a vision of the kingdom in this chapter and a prospectus of the eternal position of Israel in the new heaven and a new earth. Now, this extends over to the very end of this book. In other words, this book goes down in a blaze of glory. Now, you have in the first 7 verses the response of the Redeemer to the prayers of the remnant and his reason for the rejection of the nation. Now, verse 1 is actually to the Gentiles, to whom the gospel has now come in our day. And Paul quotes from this, by the way, as we're going to see. Now, let me read verse 1. I am sought of them that ask not for me. I am found of them that sought me not. I said, behold me unto a nation that was not called by my name. Now, these are the Gentiles that the gospel has now come. When Paul got over into Philippi, he'd had the vision of the man of Macedonia. When he got over there, wasn't any man looking for him or wanting to hear the gospel. It was a woman by the name of Lydia holding a prayer meeting down by the river. She didn't know what she was after. And now Paul brings the gospel. And now Paul quotes this in Romans 10:20, this verse. But Isaiah's very bold, and he saith, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. And that's the way it happened to us, friends. Our people today that were heathen and barbarians, yonder in the forests of Germany and in England and Scotland, they weren't down on the shore just with their hands held out, says, oh, please send us missionary. They didn't want them. They killed off a bunch of them when they did come. And today, the heathen are not begging for the gospel. I get a little weary when I hear that impression given, oh, let's send the gospel. They're just begging for it. They're not begging for it. Nobody's begging for the gospel. God has responded to people that didn't even call upon him. I never asked him to be saved. He just saved me. I'm like the black boy down south. He says, I ran from him as fast as my sinful legs could carry him in my rebellious heart. He took out after me and he ran me down. That's the way it happened. That's the way it happened for all of us. Now, verse 2. I have spread out my hands all the day unto a rebellious people which walked in a way that was not good after their own thoughts. That's verse 2. Now he's talking to the Jew, to the nation Israel. And God first gave the gospel to him. It was to the Jew first. And again, Paul says in Romans 10, verse 21 now, but to Israel, he saith, all day long have I stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. Now, God only rejected them after they rejected God. And you remember when Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, but seeing ye put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. That's the way it all came about, friends. Well, I'm going to have to leave off there. In other words, if Jerusalem refuses the gospel, Ephesus will receive it. If Los Angeles rejects the gospel, then maybe Bombay, India, or some out-of-the-way place is going to hear. The flood tide of God's grace will spill over somewhere in this world. Thank God for that. We pick up at verse 3, chapter 65 of Isaiah next time. Until then, may God richly bless you, my beloved.
If you missed one of Dr. McGee's messages in Isaiah, or you'd like to spend a little more time reviewing these important messages, we've got a few options for you. First, you can listen to these messages online at any time for free. Just visit ttb.org and click on the orange Listen button to hear today's program or access the archives. These messages are also offered in more than 100 other languages at ttbinmylanguage.com. Now, for those who wish to purchase Dr. McGee's entire 5-year study, it's available in a couple of different formats. Just visit ttb.org to view the options, including our solar Bible bus that also contains the entire audio version of the Bible. In either the New King James Version or King James Version, the choice is up to you. The solar Bible bus can be used with its own speaker or with headphones at home or anywhere that you happen to travel. So you can call us at 1-800-65-BIBLE or visit ttb.org to order yours today. Now, because we're concluding our study in Isaiah tomorrow and beginning in the New Testament book of 1 Thessalonians on Monday, The last resource that I want to mention today are Dr. McGee's free notes and outlines. If you haven't yet gotten your copy of our digital book titled Briefing the Bible that contains the notes and outlines for all of our studies, I suggest you visit ttb.org/briefing and download it today. Or if you prefer to receive an abridged paperback copy of Briefing the Bible, use the online request form or call or write to us today. The number is 1-800-65-BIBLE or send your request to Box 7100, Pasadena, California, 91109. In Canada, Box 25325, London, Ontario, N6C, 6B1. Now, as a reminder for those of you who listen by app, the notes and outlines are provided for you in the app as well. That's all for us today. I'm Steve Schwetz, inviting you to hop aboard the Bible bus tomorrow as Dr. McGee wraps up our fascinating study in the book of Isaiah.
Jesus made it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain.
We're so grateful for the faithful and generous support of Through the Bible's partners who are being used by God to take the whole word to the whole world.